offering a loving pranams at Bhagavan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. As always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, and with me is Brother Hari. We're in the last section of the discourse that Swami delivered on the Taittiriya Upanishad. This is the 1991 Summer Course series, and this discourse was delivered on 30th of May. This discourse especially was very significant for the students, especially because Swami was saying that the Taittiriya Upanishad contains some of these messages which the Guru would give the students even as they would graduate and be prepared to go into the society. And that's why Swami was saying that how it is very important for students, putting in perspective the education that one gains and the process of earning which they're going to embark upon, and how to place that in conjunction with their spiritual journey. That's what the Taittiriya Upanishad is about. But before we speak a little about what Swami said in the previous clip, and we go into the last clip of today, of this discourse, I invite Brother Hari to join all of us. Saram Hari.
Saram Prem.
As we were saying that the last week's clip, Swami was specifically speaking about a topic which we have heard Swami speak many times as students, that about the difference between practical knowledge and the application knowledge, or the bookish knowledge and the practical knowledge. Mm-hmm. And Swami would say, I think that was the main part what Swami was talking about, that pustakam mastakam, as Swami would say, what you read goes from the book to the mind, and then it goes away, or rather evaporates. It doesn't percolate into your actions or the way you live your life. That wisdom does not come forth.
Right.
And I think three or four discourses before, Swami was talking about that other thing which is central to, you know, Swami's education system, about knowledge, skill, balance and insight. And Swami would speak. Mm-hmm. He said that when you learn something, that knowledge, when it is used for the benefit of others, then it becomes skill. Okay. And when knowledge is converted to skill, that will lead to balance.
Correct.
And only when you have that balance, you will find insight coming forth.
Right.
That's one thing which Swami would say. I think that's something like typical to what, similar to what Swami is saying here.
Right. It was in the, like, of course, just previous to that, Swami was speaking also about, like, his maxim that, you know, follow the master, fight the devil.
Right.
Face the devil and fight to the end and finish the game.
Right.
Right. And we were saying, like, how it is, like, when we follow the master, it is what gives us the proper context in which we face the devil, in fact.
Right.
And that is what allows us to, you know, fight to the end. It gives us the courage. It gives us also the wisdom to live such that we fight right up to the end and thus finish the game.
Right.
And I think last week there were some parts of that talk which we were not able to touch upon.
Mm.
And a very important thing that Swami spoke about is love as the basis for values.
Right.
And Swami was saying that you first learn to expand your love to your family and fellow humans. Before that, saying that if a person cannot love his or her own mother, then how can they hope to love God? Which is something we have heard him say several times in discourses, right? That if you don't learn to love your own mother, you can't recognize that love. How will you recognize the love of a thousand mothers, right?
Right.
And Swami says that this love is the basis of the values. So first you foster this love in your mind, and the values will automatically follow.
Right.
Like even the Swami speaks about the five human values, Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema and Ahimsa. So Swami has, in different places, he said that how love is the basis for those values, in the sense that love in speech is truth.
Right.
And then there is love in action, which is dharma, for example. Right. So these, through that, Swami motivates that basically the idea is to love, expand. So love in what sense? If, what does it mean to love somebody? Like, it again comes back to how self-obsessed we are, no?
Right.
So the moment our concern turns to the opposite person, right, while not being so, you know, indulging in our own concerns, right? So that is when love begins to blossom. We begin to understand for the first time what love is.
Right.
Yeah. Because if you look at in Swami's life, see, one thing was for a very large part, we could not read emotions on Swami's face.
Hmm.
Right? So if you look at Swami during darshan, he would smile and, you know, sit like a very serene face even while sitting for bhajan, etc. But, you know, we knew that he is the ocean of compassion. But say he is reading, a letter from a person, you could never see, you know, for most part, you wouldn't be able to read Swami's emotion. Like, he must be reading it and feeling a lot of pain inside him, but he would just be reading it very casually. Right? But the kind of concern that he had, I remember once, Brother Satyajit, he recounted this, because he was, he had the fortune of serving Swami physically, and he saw this very live example of what is Swami's concern for someone else, where it transcends one's own concerns, right? Like, he was saying that one of our alumni who's been serving in our institutions for several years, so during darshan time, just after, you know, aarti, he had gone up to Swami and given one letter.
Mm-hmm.
So in that letter he had expressed about his concerns for his mother's health. His mother's health was failing a lot at that time. And so he wrote about that to Bhagwan. So Swami took this letter to Yajur Mandir. And during those days, like, Swami's health was not that good. And so when he entered Yajur Mandir, Brother Satyajit and others, they saw that Swami was actually very short of breath.
Mm.
So his chest was heaving and he was like finding it difficult to breathe. So the first thing they did was they applied this nebulizer, no, to make, it's like oxygen enriched. So it becomes, after some time you don't need to breathe that heavily.
Mm.
Right? It decreases the load on your lungs. So they applied this nebulizer and you have, it's like a mask you put on the face and there's a machine. So that they were doing. But, you know, he saw that even as he had put that mask, Swami was saying something through the mask. So first he, you know, prayed to Swami. Swami, like, first let your, you know, breathing stabilize, then we'll talk about it. But even then, like, Swami was continuing to speak.
Okay.
So he had to remove that nebulizer. And then Swami said, see that boy. And for Swami, he was still a boy because he had entered Bhagwan's institution when he was 6 years old.
Mm.
And he is now in his 40s, but Swami still referred to him as a boy. And Swami said, see, that boy, he's been here with us now. His mother, she's not keeping well. There is something I must do. And then Swami said, see, these vibhuti packets are there. So he gave it with his hand and he said, give it to him. And Brother Satyajit, he said, see, like, and I can imagine that because I used to have this problem of bronchitis, etc. I know that when you're short of breath, like, your entire energy is focused on breathing. There's literally nothing else that you can think about at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And here was Swami in that state. He is speaking about the health condition of his devotee.
Mm-hmm.
The anxiety, the worry that his student is going through. And at that time he's thinking so selflessly about that person and saying that vibhuti prasadam to be given to them. It speaks volumes about, it's a great lesson in love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What is love, right? That ever present concern for your fellow beings, right? And sometimes, like, it doesn't mean you neglect your body, but then it means that sometimes you might have to set your concerns aside. You become a much, much, much bigger person.
Mm.
And you address the concerns of your fellow beings. That is the love. So that is the love which, you know, fosters, Swami says, that's the quality of love that fosters values in people.
Right.
And so Swami says that, in essence, like, this is the teaching. This is the essence of living which the Taittiriya Upanishad actually conveys.
Mm.
And in various different ways. See, we are instructed to lead a life of dharma. We are instructed to lead a life of, say, charity and so many discipline. But again, at the basis of all this is love. And we can see that love is what it is directed to God Himself. So, like, people might say, you know, say you're living in an ashram and then you have to sacrifice. They use the word that you're sacrificing so many things, right? So many maybe comforts. Or, you know, they might say leading a material life. All that they say you have sacrificed. But when you look at it from the point when your view is that I should win the love of God, when I have to earn the grace of God, then it becomes an offering, not a sacrifice anymore. Right? You do it with that feeling of love. remember, I think you yourself had mentioned this a couple of weeks back, that how Sunday darshan, right? You would be willing to give up that very tasty breakfast, special breakfast that was offered on Sundays at the hostel, because you knew that the on the other side was the option that you would be able to sit for first line during morning darshan on a Sunday. And that day, Swami would always make it special because he would then, you know, walk down. I remember he would always, there would be an exchange of words somewhere, you know, and near, as soon as he reaches the student zone, he would have a smile playing on his face. And from a distance, he would crack some joke and the, you know, students there would be laughing. So he would all look forward to those kind of interactions. And at that time, breakfast would have absolutely no meaning for us on a Sunday. Mm. Imagine that students, that teenage students, willing to wake up at 3:30, 4 a.m., right, and willing to forego breakfast so that they could run to Mandir and have darshan of their Lord, right? And that can only come from love, that kind of discipline which students are willing to undergo, right? That can only come because of love of God. Mm-hmm. And to an outsider, it might appear, yes, you know, there's a regimented life they're leading, you know, maybe it is forced upon them. But at no point of time, you know, always you felt that this is something I need to do in order to win His grace.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, we were just listening to the recordings of Mrs. Ratanlal. Mm. She was talking about the first trip when they had come. I think it was in the late 60s. Mm. First time they are coming to Prashanthi Nilayam, and there were no rooms here. I mean, the East Prashanthi and West Prashanthi, none of it was there in those days, yes, during that period. And then there were, I think, barely three or four rooms, which one was inhabited by Professor Kasturi and some families which were here all the time. Mm. So Swami had instructed that one room which was there, which was probably the only room available during that festival of Shivratri or something, or Dashara, I'm not sure which one. Swami said give it to them because her husband, Mr. Ratanlal, was not keeping well then. Mm. So Swami said, let him not stay in the open, let him stay in that house. And then she describes what kind of a life they had for those few days. Mm. She said, you know, though Swami had given him that room, it was just a matter of time before all the others also, you know, came and stayed in the same room. Mm. So then they would order for this hot water, which would come in a really filthy looking bucket. Mm. But even before you could use it, somebody might use it. Then you'll have to again ask that boy to get another bucket. Mm. And then she would say that how she had to cook separately for her husband because he was sick. Mm. Then she was in some, you know, she would avoid certain things in her food. So she used to cook separately for herself and then run for darshan and all of this. And she said, and coming from a background from where they were coming, with four drivers, 10 servants at your beck and call every time, and a house so large that you could host 50 people at any given time. Mm. Right? And she said, from such a background, and this is where we're living. And even as she was narrating that, she said, but ask me today and I will tell you that those 10 days were the most blissful days of my life. Mm. She says, I can't explain why, but I mean, we can't, I mean, and coming from a person who has spent so much time with Swami, right? She spent so many years and decades with Swami. She's saying that those 10 days were the most beautiful days of my life.
Right.
I think that's what love does, you know, and that's precisely what Swami was telling, that, you know, when you bring love into the equation, everything becomes easy.
Yes.
To be truthful becomes easy. To be sincere in your work becomes easy. And to be, to develop that vairagya or that detachment becomes so much more easier. Someone was saying it, I mean, it's not sacrifice, but it's merely prioritizing. That, you know, this becomes more important than that. Then you so easily let the one which is of lower priority go by. Right? And that's what Swami was saying. And this is not as Swami was putting it, I think, in one of these statements, he says, true love that decreases at any time is not love at all.
Right.
So, that's the touchstone. If you have that love and if it seems to be growing, especially when there are challenges and if there's no dip in it, it is constant, then it is love. Otherwise, it's, as Swami would say, it's not devotion, it's emotion.
Yeah, merely infatuation.
It comes and goes. Right.
Right.
Then, of course, the other thing which Swami said, which was very beautiful, was he was talking about this, people are content. I mean, everybody is after contentment, but people are content with food for the body, sleep for the eyes, and house full of children.
Right.
Swami had made this statement in a previous discourse also. And what Swami is saying, I mean, it's very beautiful because even these three or four things which Swami is saying, it can actually take a lifetime to achieve.
Right.
Right? I mean, for a normal person who's a regular, on a regular job, it can take a lifetime. So, I mean, if one were to say that, let me finish this and then come to spirituality, and I think, I mean, you're not going to come anytime soon.
Yeah.
Right? It's got to be side by side. And that's why Swami is saying the true contentment does not come by this.
In fact, if people are content with food for the body and sleep for the eyes, and Swami says the house full of children, if that were the case, I think it would, I mean, like, the middle class would be
the whole
extremely happy.
The whole FMCG industry wouldn't be there.
Exactly.
Right. And I think that was where we had stopped. And one more point which I wanted to mention, which struck me in this thing was, you know, going back to those four Fs, follow the master, fight till the end, fight to the end, right? Those two statements which Swami said, one thing was when Swami is talking about practical knowledge, he said determination is essential for practical knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
No, bookish knowledge is you just spend some time and learn it. But if you really want to learn something practical in life lessons, that can be only when there is determination and you take your challenges head on.
Right.
And that's why that fight to the end is so important. It's not enough if you just follow the master and face the devil, but the readiness to fight, that is what actually gives that practical wisdom which Swami was talking about. And another thing which one of the elders would point out is, Swami would say, fight to the end and finish the game. It's not fight for the end and end the game. It is, you never know when the end is coming. Your duty is only to keep fighting till the end. It is not fight for the end. It is fight to the end.
To the end.
And don't end the game, finish the game. It should be complete.
Right.
And when Swami knows it's complete, it's complete. You don't wait for the game to end.
Correct. Now, I was remembering this fight to the end and how, like, Swami himself, sometimes he gives indications of the kinds of devils that you're likely to face. You know, one old student, he remembers this, that they had come to Trai Vrindavan after doing like Grama Seva.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, like, Swami would maybe exchange a few words, etc. But that particular time, he said, when they went to Vrindavan, Swami did something unexpected. He called all the old students who were, like, associated regularly with the Grama Seva work. He called them for what Swami used to call a tiffin session in Trai Vrindavan. Say around 3 p.m. they would all troop into Trai.
Right.
And Swami would have, like, a nice...
Typically, we would have a tumbler idli.
Right. Speciality item called the tumbler idli and many other things. They would get served. And of course, for them, you know, that tiffin would get over, like, very quickly, because actually what was on offer was special time with Bhagwan. So they all were there. And this old student, remember, he was sitting so close to Bhagwan. And Swami was speaking about how you should never lose, you know, that hold of Bhagwan's feet.
Mm.
Having come this close, you should never lose it. And Swami said that when you have that kind of a goal in mind, immediately a lot of problems will come, which will then you'll be tempted to look away, or you might even doubt that, you know, holding Swami's feet, what is it getting me but trouble. And Swami said, looking at him in particular, he said, you know, even if financial troubles come, you should not leave Swami. He mentioned this, and at that time he was like having a very good running business and taking care of his family extremely well. He had, you know, vehicles, everything. He had no cause for thinking that there would be any financial. And within the next year, he was cheated by a few people in business and he found himself pretty close to penury very quickly. You know? And that was when, you know, he suddenly said that he even removed all God's photos from his home. It was like after living like this for 2-3 years that suddenly he remembered what Swami had said in Trai. It didn't occur to him. That's when he again, you know, slowly started making his way back, and his financial situation kind of, you know, improved right after that. But he remembered that how, you know, Swami gives that hint. You know, it's like the teacher giving some advance notice about what is going to come in the exam also, so that we are better prepared.
Right.
So that we have that kind of grace.
That's the beauty. You know, even as you're narrating this incident, see, he might have taken those 2 years to find his way back. But I'm sure Swami would when he finally turned back, Swami would welcome him like nothing had happened.
Absolutely.
And I think that is also a sign of what Swami was talking about, that divine love, you know. when He is ready to give us the space and be patient with us. And I think that's precisely what we should offer to Swami also. Precisely. The patience for Him to take the course and do the things as, you know, it's done.
Right.
So I think we'll go to the next part, which is the last part of that discourse.
Vidyarthulara, students, kevalamu, laukikamaina vidyale meeku pradhanamaineatundi yokka lakshyanni marchandi.
You just change your idea that the physical education is not mainly important. World education is not mainly important.
Manavattamana kante minchinatundi vidya maroka vidya ledu.
There is no education which is beyond the human nature.
Manavattam ledi vidyalu enni undinappudiki nee prayojanam ledu.
When there is no humanity, whatever type of education you have,
enni vidyalu nerchi emi phalamu?
What use is there by having all types
Tan
of education?
Tan mokkata tappinte evari vasamu?
Who can make you escape from destiny?
Chedda buddhulu talati cherireni.
When once bad feelings enter into head,
enda baarulu buddhulu bendu baaru.
The intellect becomes a dead rock.
Danda baaru.
It becomes dead rock and dry.
Alanti vidyalu vidyalu kaadu.
That sort of education is no true education.
ఈ లోక విద్యలు అత్యవసరమే.
That world education.
ఈ పరిశోధనలు కూడా అవసరమే.
Investigations are necessary.
కానీ ఆధారమైనటువంటి విద్యను,
but that which is the base,
మూలమైనటువంటి విద్యను,
that which is the root,
సూత్రమైన విద్యను, సూత్రమైన విద్యను,
that which is the form of principle,
ఇది ప్రధానమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఆత్మభావంతో మనము అభ్యసించవలసిన విద్య.
We should acquire that knowledge with atomic feeling.
అదే మూలము.
That is the root cause.
ఇదంతా స్థూలము.
These all the gross.
ఈ స్థూలమైనటువంటి దానికి మూలం లేకుండా స్థూలం ఉండగలదా?
దేర్ కెనాట్ ది గ్రాస్ వితౌట్ ద రూట్ కాజ్.
ఈ టమ్లర్ ఇక్కడ నిలిచింది.
హియర్ ఇస్ ద టమ్లర్.
ఇది కేవలం స్థూలము.
దిస్ ద గ్రాస్ వన్.
ఈ టేబుల్ మూలం.
ద టేబుల్ ఇస్ ద బేస్.
ఈ టేబుల్ ఇక్కడ నిలిచింది.
హియర్ స్టాండ్స్.
ఈ టేబుల్ కేవలం ఒక స్థూలము.
దిస్ టేబుల్ ఇస్ గ్రాస్.
కానీ ఆ భూమి మూలము.
బట్ ద ఎర్త్ ఇస్ ద బేస్.
అతని ఒకటి ఆధారము, ఒకటి ఆధేయము.
వన్ ఇస్ ద బేస్, అదర్ ఇస్ బేస్.
ఆధారాన్ని వదిలిపెట్టి ఆధేయాన్ని పట్టుకుని మనము అవస్థలకు గురి అవుతున్నాము.
వి ఫాలో ద బేస్ అండ్ ఫర్గెట్ ది బేస్.
కనుక ఆధారాన్ని ముందు ఆధారం చేసుకోవాలి.
లెట్ అస్ హావ్ ద బేస్ ఆధార్.
అది ఆత్మ విద్య.
దట్ ఈస్ ఆత్మిక్ విద్య.
ఈ ఆత్మ విద్య వలన సర్వమును గుర్తించడానికి వీలవుతుంది.
విత్ ఆత్మిక్ నాలెడ్జ్ యూ కెన్ హ్యావ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎల్స్.
ఒక దానిని తెలుసుకుంటే సర్వమును తెలుసుకున్న వారు అవుతారు.
వెన్ యూ అండర్స్టాండ్ వన్ థింగ్, యూ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్
ఎవ్రీ అదర్. యూనిటీ ఇన్ డైవర్సిటీ.
దట్ ఈస్ యూనిటీ ఇన్ డైవర్సిటీ.
ఈ సత్యాన్ని ప్రబోధించేటువంటిది ఉపనిషత్తులు.
దట్ ట్రూత్ ఈస్ ప్రాపగేటెడ్ బై ఉపనిషత్.
ఈనాటి విద్యా విధానంలో ఉపనిషత్తులు కానీ, బ్రహ్మసూత్రములు కాని, వేదములు కాని, ఇతిహాసములు కాని, పురాణములు కాని ఏమాత్రం కూడా బోధించేటువంటి యొక్క అవకాశమే లేకుండా ఉంటున్నాయి.
ఇన్ ద మోడర్న్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో స్కోప్ టు టీచ్ ఇతిహాస, భగవద్గీత, బ్రహ్మసూత్ర అండ్ పురాణ.
మానవత్వంలో ఉన్నటువంటి పరిపూర్ణమైనటువంటి విలువలన్నీ కూడా అందులోనే ఉంటున్నాయి.
ఆల్ హ్యూమన్ వాల్యూ
డైమండ్స్ వంటి ఈ మణులను మాత్రం విడిచిపెట్టి బొగ్గుల కోసమే ప్రాకులాడుతున్నారు.
లీవింగ్ దోస్ ప్రెషస్ డైమండ్స్ వేర్ ఆఫ్టర్ కోల్.
కనుక ఈ యొక్క బొగ్గులు ఏమాత్రం కూడా మనకు ప్రయోజనం లేదు.
దేర్ నో యూజ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ కోల్.
మనకు ఈ డైమండ్స్ ను మనం కొంతవరకు సంపాదించుకోవాలి.
వీ షుడ్ ట్రై టు అక్వైర్ ప్రెషస్.
ఈ డైమండ్స్ ఎప్పుడు మనకు చెప్తుండే?
When can you hope to get diamond?
ఈ లౌకికమైనటువంటి యొక్క విషయములందు
ఇన్
మనస్సును నాశనము చేసినప్పుడు, లౌకికమైన విషయములందు మనస్సును నాశనం చేసినప్పుడు,
when once you kill the mind in worldly matters,
అప్పుడే డైమండ్ ఇస్ డైమండ్.
That amounts to diamond. That is diamond.
కనుకనే మనము ఈ మనస్సును కొంతవరకు ఈ భౌతికమైనటువంటి వృత్తుల్లో కొంతవరకు తగ్గించుకోవాలి.
సో వీ షుడ్ సబ్సైడ్ అవర్ మైండ్ ఇన్ వరల్డ్లీ మ్యాటర్స్.
ఎంత గొప్ప గొప్ప విద్యావంతులు లోకంలో ఉంటున్నారు.
ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్ దేర్ ఆర్ హైలీ ఎడ్యుకేటెడ్,
పెద్ద పెద్ద డిగ్రీలు తీసుకుంటున్నారు.
పీపుల్ విత్ మెనీ డిగ్రీ,
పెద్ద పెద్ద మంచి పదవులు కూడా పొందుతున్నారు.
ఆర్ మెన్ ఇన్ పొజిషన్.
కానీ ఏమి ప్రయోజనము?
వాట్ యూజ్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్?
ఈ లౌకిక విద్యే మాత్రమే వాళ్ళ జీవితాన్ని అంకితం చేసుకుంటున్నారు.
దే స్పెండ్ దర్ లైఫ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్.
ఎంత కాలమైనప్పటికీ తిన్న కడుపుకే తింటున్నారు, కడిగిన ముఖాన్నే కడుగుతున్నారు.
హవర్ లాంగ్ ఇట్ మే బి వీ గో ఆన్ ఫీడింగ్ ది సేమ్ స్టమక్.
పరమావధి అంటే ఏమిటి?
వాట్ ఈస్ ది చీఫ్ ఎయిమ్?
వారికి ఏం అర్థం కావటం లేదు.
దే డోంట్ అండర్స్టాండ్.
దండిగా డబ్బులు సంపాదించవచ్చు,
అర్న్ ద మనీ,
బ్యాంకుల్లో పెట్టుకోవచ్చును,
డిపాజిట్
ఇంకా అవసరమైతే విదేశాల్లో పెట్టవచ్చును.
వీ కెన్ కీప్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ఫారెన్ బ్యాంక్.
కాలం వచ్చినప్పుడు కళ్ళు మూసుకుంటే అంతా వెళ్లిపోతుంది.
When once one dies, all the money would go.
ఈ ధనం ఏం చేస్తుండాలి?
What sort of things you get out of money?
జ్ఞాన ధనాన్ని మనం సంపాదించుకోవాలి.
We should have the wealth of wisdom.
దివ్యమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఉత్పత్తి స్థానాన్ని మనం సంపాదించుకోవాలి.
We should reach the position of divinity.
అది ఏనేటువంటి విద్యాధనము?
That is the real
విద్యా ధనము. చెడేటువంటి పదార్థం కాదు. విద్యాధనము చెడేటువంటి పదార్థం కాదు.
This the wealth of education does not decay.
ఈ యొక్క విద్య చెడిపోయేటువంటి విద్యే.
This education is too
పరీక్షల నిమిత్తమే రాత్రింపగలు పాటుపడి చదువుతున్నారు.
We study Then day out.
ఆ గ్రంథములో ఉండేటువంటి విషయాలంతా కుటుంబం పుస్తకం చేర్చుకుంటున్నారు.
We collect all the facts in the books into
the book. ఎగ్జామ్ హాల్లోకి పోతున్నారు, హెడ్ లో ఉన్నదంతా పేపర్ లో గుమ్మరించి ఎంప్టీ హెడ్ తో ఇంటికి వస్తున్నారు.
ఇన్ ద ఎగ్జామినేషన్ హాల్ వీ ఎంప్టీ ఆల్ ద కంటెంట్ ఇన్ ద బ్రెయిన్ అండ్ రిటర్న్.
ఏమి ప్రయోజనం?
వాట్ యూజ్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ దేర్?
ఒక వారమైన తర్వాత ఆ క్వశ్చన్ కి తిరిగి మరి అడిగితే దానికి ఆన్సర్ చిక్కదు వీడి దగ్గర.
ఆఫ్టర్ ద వీక్ ఇస్ ది సేమ్ క్వశ్చన్ ఇస్ పుట్, హి హాస్ నో ఆన్సర్.
ఇది తాత్కాలికమైనటువంటి ఒక పరీక్షల యొక్క పట్టమును కట్టుకునే కోసమని చదువుతున్నారు.
టు ఎర్న్ ది డిగ్రీ విచ్ ఇస్ టెంపరీ దే రీడ్.
ఇలాంటి విద్యల వల్ల లోకానికి ఏమాత్రం కూడా ఉపయోగం లేదు.
విత్ దాట్ సార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ద వరల్డ్
మీ పొట్టలు మీరు నింపుకోవచ్చును. మీ పొట్టలు మీరు నింపుకోవచ్చును.
యూ కెన్ హ్యావ్ యువర్ లివింగ్.
మీ కుటుంబాన్ని మీరు పోషించుకోవచ్చును.
యూ కెన్ టేక్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ ఫ్యామిలీ.
జగత్తునకు ఏమాత్రం ఉపయోగం లేదు.
బట్ ద వరల్డ్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో ప్రాఫిట్.
జగత్ కళ్యాణాన్ని కోరాలి విద్యార్థులు ఈనాడు.
ద స్టూడెంట్ షుడ్ ఎట్
అందువల్ల విద్యార్థుల్లో ఉన్నటువంటి వివేకం క్షీణించిపోయింది.
దేర్ ఫార్ ది డిస్క్రిమినేషన్ ఇస్ అబ్సెంట్.
విశాల హృదయం అంతా కూడా నాశనమైపోయింది.
ద బ్రాడ్ మైండెడ్నెస్ ఇస్ అప్.
స్వార్థము సప్రయోజనం చేతనే అల్లర్లు జడ్జలు జరుగుతూ వస్తున్నాయి.
బికాస్ ఆఫ్ సెల్ఫిష్నెస్ అండ్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ దేర్ ఆర్ ఎగ్జిస్టింగ్.
లోకం అశాంతిమయమైపోతుంటుంది.
దేర్ ఫార్ ద హోల్ కంట్రీ ఇస్
గురువు అంటే విశ్వాసం లేదు.
దే హావ్ నో ఫెయిత్.
గురువు అంటే గౌరవం లేదు. తల్లిదండ్రులు అంటే ప్రేమ లేదు. ప్రజలంటే అభిమానం లేదు.
దే హావ్ నో అటాచ్మెంట్. దే హావ్ నో లవ్ ఫర్ ద వరల్డ్.
ఏమిటి నీవు మానవత్వం?
దెన్ వాట్ ఈస్ హ్యూమన్?
ఎక్కడ ఉంది నీలో మానవత్వం?
వేర్ ఇస్ దట్ హ్యూమన్ నేచర్?
కనుక మొట్టమొదటి మానవత్వాన్ని అభివృద్ధి పరచుకునేటువంటి చదువులు చదవాలి.
దేర్ ఫోర్ యూ మస్ట్ హ్యావ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ టు డెవలప్ హ్యూమన్ నేచర్.
ఒక పశువులైనా ఒక సీజన్ రీజన్ ఉంటుంటుంది. ఈనాటి మానవులకి నో సీజన్ నో రీజన్.
ఎన్ యానిమల్ ఎట్లీస్ట్ హ్యాస్ గాట్ ఎ రీజన్ అండ్ సీజన్, బట్ నో మ్యాన్ హ్యాస్ గాట్ రీజన్ అండ్ సీజన్.
కనుక పశువులే మేలు కదా.
దేర్ ఫోర్ యానిమల్స్ ఆర్ బెటర్.
అవి ఏ యూనివర్సిటీకి పోతున్నాయి? ఏ డిగ్రీస్ పొందుతున్నాయి?
టు విచ్ యూనివర్సిటీ దే గో? వాట్ డిగ్రీస్ దే అక్వైర్?
ఏ అధికారం చేపడుతున్నాయి?
వాట్ పొజిషన్ దే సీక్?
ఏమిటి లేదు.
నథింగ్ వాట్స్ ఎవర్.
కానీ అవే కొన్ని మొరాలిటీని సంపాదించుకుంటూ ఉన్నాయి.
బట్ దే హ్యావ్ సమ్ సార్ట్ ఆఫ్ మొరాలిటీ.
ఇది కాదు. ఈనాటి విద్యార్థులందరికీ నీతి నిజాయితీలను పెంచుకోవాలి.
స్టూడెంట్స్ టుడే షుడ్ డెవలప్ ద
మానవతాదిను అభివృద్ధి గావించుకోవాలి.
దే షుడ్ డెవలప్ ద విజ్డమ్.
సైన్స్ పైకి ఎగిరిపోతుంటుంది.
ద సైన్స్ ఈజ్ ఆన్ ద రైజ్.
ఆకాశానికి ఎగిరిపోతుండాలి.
ఇస్ రీచింగ్ ద స్కై.
కానీ సెన్స్ కిందికి దిగిపోతున్నాయి.
బట్ సెన్సెస్ ఆర్ డౌన్ వర్డ్.
ఇది ఆ సైన్స్ యొక్క డెవలప్.
ఈజ్ ఇస్ ద డెవలప్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ ద సైన్స్.
కాదు 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 కాదు.
నౌ
సెన్సెస్ ను అదుపులో పెట్టుకోవాలి.
వన్ షుడ్ కంట్రోల్ సెన్సెస్.
ఇది ఎన్ని విధముల లక్షల మేలు అంతరిక్షయానం పోతున్నాడో హృదయాంతరాళానికి హాసించైనా పోవటం లేదు.
మ్యాన్ ఈజ్ రీచింగ్ ప్లానెట్స్ బట్ హీస్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు రీచ్ ఈవెన్ అన్ ఇంచ్ ఇన్ టు హిజ్ ఓన్ హార్ట్.
లాక్స్ ఆఫ్ మైల్స్
he travels lakhs of miles.
కానీ హాఫ్ ఇంచ్ అయినా కూడా లోపల ప్రవేశించడం.
బట్ ఈ డజన్ ట్రావెల్ హాఫ్ అన్ ఇంచ్ ఇన్ వర్డ్.
ఇది కాదు మనం చేయవలసినటువంటిది.
దిస్ నాట్ ది థింగ్.
హృదయ పరిశీలన జరపాలి.
వీ షుడ్ ఎంక్వైర్ అవర్ హార్ట్.
మన అంతరాత్మను మనం సాక్షిగా పెట్టుకోవాలి.
వీ షుడ్ మేక్ అవర్ అంతరాత్మ.
అప్పుడే నిజమైనటువంటి మానవత్వం మనలో ఆవిర్భవిస్తుంది.
దెన్ ఓన్లీ విల్ హ్యావ్ హ్యూమన్ నేచర్.
విద్యార్థులారా,
స్టూడెంట్స్,
భక్తి ప్రపత్తులనగా కేవలము భజనలు చేయటము పూజలు చేయటము ఇంత మాత్రమే కాదు.
డివోషన్ డస్ నాట్ మీన్ ద చాంటింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద నేమ్ ఆర్ వర్షిప్.
హృదయ విశాలతను గావించుకోవాలి.
వన్ మస్ట్ వన్ షుడ్ హ్యావ్
గహనాలు పెంచుకోవాలి.
వన్ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ పీస్ అండ్
పవిత్రమైన ప్రాణ సమానమైన ప్రేమను మనం అభివృద్ధి గావించుకోవాలి.
వన్ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ ద లవ్ విచ్ ఇస్ డియరర్ దాన్ లైఫ్.
ప్రేమ లేకపోతే జీవితమే లేదు.
వితౌట్ లైఫ్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో వితౌట్ లవ్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో లైఫ్.
దిస్ ఇస్ లివింగ్ డెత్.
ఇస్ ఎ లివింగ్ డెత్ కాల్.
కనుక ప్రేమ అత్యవసరము.
సో లవ్ ఇస్ మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్.
So that's how that discourse concludes. And it's an interesting shift that Swami was talking for a long time about education and science and the namesake progress and what is actually happening. And suddenly there's a shift and Swami speaks about devotion devoid of love.
Mm-hmm.
Or the exhibition of devotion without that inner feeling of love.
Right.
We'll come to that when we come to that point. So Swami again emphasizes on, you know, what education is supposed to give us.
Mm.
And what it is missing out, both from the point of view of the educators as well as from the point of view of the students themselves.
Yes. And again the same thing, like you were mentioning some time ago, that how we tend to treat education as something that is abstract, that it pertains only to the mind and has nothing to do with the real world. Like, we don't tend to apply what we learn. This is especially true of, let's say, even like when we are listening, as Swami mentioned earlier, no, we listen to the Vedas, we listen to the teachings contained in the Vedas, we are content talking about them, discussing them, but the real, where the, they say, like, the road meets the rubber, right? Mm-hmm. So the rubber meets the road, at that point of time is when really these teachings have to come into play. Mm-hmm. And that is where, you know, that abhyasa has to happen. We have to keep, you know, practicing it in safe situations, so to speak. So that, like, when the real test comes, without thinking, like, we are able to put it to use. It's just like, you know, a soldier, the way a soldier is trained. And the soldier is just like any other normal person and has to confront, he faces fear when he looks at the enemy. Right? But the soldier is trained in such a way that at that moment, he automatically thinks of the higher purpose of why he's a soldier. He's there to defend the country. Mm. So that allows him to transcend that fear. And that happens through a lot of training that has taken place before that in safe situations.
Right.
Like pretty much the same way. Like, so it cannot be that we don the hat of values or virtues or dharma at some particular moment of our convenience. It has to be something that we practice from time to time. Whenever we notice, when the stakes are lower also, like, we should be able to practice that dharma so that when the stakes are high, that time we don't disappoint God, you know, so in that sense. And as remembering, you know, like, how a very strange study that was done in the field of ethics itself. So, they actually surveyed students and professors of ethics, just to see, like, how ethical they themselves were.
Okay.
So these are people who are very well versed in, like, what ethics are and why they should be practiced and nuances.
Right.
You know, like, they can give you case studies which would fox you because you wouldn't know what is the right thing to do in that situation. Right. So these are people of with that nuanced learning about ethics. And when a study was done among them to see, like, how ethical they actually were, they noticed that they were either about the same as the average population, in some case they were even lower than average, the reason being that they also had the means to justify their actions. See, so that is how we tend to use the knowledge that we have for the opposite intent of what it was designed.
Right.
And even as Swami was saying, this is again looking at the present situation. See, something so abstract as mathematics, right, as so what we call the purest of the sciences. Right? So, from that abstract mathematics, now people have devised this new field called data science. Like, that has really taken off. But if you look at the turmoil that is presently happening in the Western Hemisphere, like today, like, news came out that during the time of the US elections, how from a foreign country there were like 1,000 troll sites that were especially dedicated to sending out false news items that would, turn the mind of the people.
Voters.
So it was trying to influence the mind of voters, and much of it was driven by, like, what those voters wanted to hear. And, you know, there were also, that news article spoke about a particular paper that was actually authored by a professor from Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
And how that particular paper, the main ideas from that were used to make a company that influenced very important votes that happened in UK as well as in the US.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is very strange because maths is just knowledge, mathematics is knowledge, right? And from that, how mankind has decided to use it, right, in order to manipulate and get something out of the opposite person instead of using it for helping the opposite person. So, is data science in itself, is it right, wrong, bad, ugly? No. It is just it's just knowledge. But it's how we tend to use it that makes it, you know, something that is harmful to society.
Mm.
So, that is why Swami says that as soon as wrong ideas enter your mind, your intelligence becomes dead like a rock.
Mm.
And we can even see, I have seen, you know, students, among students, they may have a lot of intelligence, like above average intelligence. But, you know, something happens and their mind goes astray.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the critical phase, you know, say they're doing undergraduate studies, something catches their attention. And modern life has no dearth for distractions, right? It has distractions of every sort and they become addicts or something or the other. And I've seen very brilliant students, they lose their way completely. Like a promising career, it was nipped right at the bud.
Mm.
And with nobody else's actions but their own. Right? So, very important. And who has a responsibility for making sure that students do not, you know, get into that kind of line? And again, Swami puts it like very, very squarely on the educators themselves. Because a lot of rethink has to be done as to what we are doing with education. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it again goes back to that what Swami was telling about contentment and how you go after that contentment. You know, the contentment which the body and the mind senses in the form of when you're able to satisfy your desires, when you're able to satisfy the desires of the body. I mean, that is a kind of contentment which is readily available to you and it's instant gratification as you see it. You know, you can experience it. But when Swami is mentioning this point here, you know, you have to teach concepts such as what is mentioned in the Upanishads for students.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're giving them an idea of something which is not readily, something which you cannot experience right now, but you're at least made aware that, this is the higher contentment which is available.
Right.
And that actually starts refocusing this idea of purpose. You know, even when you're gathering knowledge, you know, you're told that this knowledge can give you this benefit, it can give you even higher benefit. Now you decide which one you want to use. You know, when in the absence of the choice, I think most of the students, you give them a tool and they use it for whatever is available right in front of them, rather than preserving it for using for some higher purpose.
Right.
And, you know, I think typically the example that Swami would give about that battle happens between Arjuna and Ashwatthama.
Mm.
I hope I'm getting the details right, where each one of them fire that Brahmastra at each other.
Mm-hmm.
The story goes that Arjuna is able to recall his Brahmastra, but Ashwatthama does not have that knowledge. So even though both have learned from the same guru and both have mastered the same art, because Arjuna was always using his knowledge for the purpose of the society and the welfare of others, he actually had a greater control over his knowledge than Ashwatthama.
Oh.
You know, Ashwatthama, it was the very father who taught Arjuna the thing. So he says, once he released, he said, no, I can't do that. I don't have the ability to recall. So when Swami was saying when selfishness and the wrong feelings enter your head, it renders the knowledge as useless.
Right.
You know, it's a typical example that Swami gives, and that's what we say. That, you know, it's so important to see what I've learned. Is it possible to be used for the welfare of society? And that part where Swami was going on saying it's like you fill your head and empty it in an exam hall. I mean, that's so typically, I don't know, I feel endlessly guilty listening to that part, because that's precisely what most of us have done.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, even as you're going through, I think that is one thing which Swami would always say, be it those discourses which Swami used to give to the MBA boys or to the science graduates. Swami would constantly say that, I mean, are you ensuring that what you learn will someday be useful for others?
Mm.
And I think that way most of the research, at least I can say about what happens in the Department of Chemistry, is always geared to that. You know, some form of natural product science or synthetic organic, where it will have some correlation to bettering the life of people.
That's right.
And that was something which Swami was very particular about.
Right? Yeah, I recall when you were mentioning this, I'd like to mention that a few days ago there was a person who was very highly placed in the scientific establishment,
mm-hmm.
from the central government, who had come on a personal visit to the to Prashant Thilam, and we took him to the institute, to Bhagwan's university, and he was interested to see like what kind of projects are being done. And when he came out, he said he was so inspired, because he visited the physics department, the chemistry department, and the biochemistry department, and all of them were working hand in glove with the institute of with the super speciality hospital, trying to develop devices or different kinds of treatment that would make it painless for the patients, right? So like indigenous, better designed equipment like ECG or something for detecting thyroidal conditions, etc. And in particular, like this one study that is presently being undertaken at the super speciality hospital,
mm-hmm.
where like especially young people who lose, their cartilage starts eroding. So generally what is done is like an arthroscopy, or you might have to actually open up and repair the cartilage in that joint. But okay. Now they are testing out a technique where you take cells from the person's own body, culture, culture, the serum, and then inject it back, such as the cartilage grows itself. Back,
right,
by itself. So it's called regenerative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of such projects that are being undertaken over here, and as you said, for the betterment of humanity, right? Not some abstract kind of theorizing, but something which is practically applicable for people. And he was really, really inspired when he, you know, heard this and came out of the institute.
Right. Yeah. And you know, when you especially read about the scriptures and all that, I mean, talking about Mahabharata, most of these warriors learn some of their weapon and the arts of warfare from actually spiritual masters.
Right.
And I mean, it goes without saying that these are spiritual masters who had all these powers but never used them.
Right.
So it's like even as they're acquiring the knowledge, probably they were filtering out, saying that no, this is something I need, this is something I don't need, this is something the society needs.
Mm.
Or saying that this part of the knowledge will be better off in the hands of the king, or it's better off if given to the warrior clan. And I think that's what it is. And that happens when you are given the context of a higher purpose, even as you are acquiring that knowledge.
That's right.
And that's why Swami is saying it's so important while learning. And the entire summer course series which Swami did was precisely that. You know, in the beginning of the academic year, you're given that. You know, you are going to go in, you're going to learn mathematics, as you said, you know, all the data sciences and all of that.
Yeah.
But you're given a context for the entire process of education itself. And even as you are going through, I don't know if all of us as students did it or did it successfully or to the satisfaction of Swami, but at least that was the point, that every now and then you stop and review, is it taking me in the direction in which, you know, I was told that this education is supposed to take me,
correct? It's very necessary also for educators to take this to heart.
Right.
And by educators, I just don't mean the teachers who teach in, you know, at the school, because education is something that continues more so when you're back at home. Like what parents do, you know, with their children. And I recall, see, the advantage of like somebody who's very in tune with the Satya Sai Seva organization, for example. I recall once we were traveling by train, that is my mother and my brother and I. We were traveling by train, and my mother had struck up a friendship with somebody, you know, so the journey takes about 2 days, and, you know, the people inside the compartment, they suddenly become your family, right? So, so my mother had struck up a conversation with them, and somewhere they had to get off a few stations before ours. And I recall, you know, the moment the train stopped, and we saw that lady, she got up and she was struggling with her luggage. My mother only had to utter the word Sevadal, that's it. And my brother and I, immediately we got up, you know, and we helped that lady with her luggage. And it was that, you know, we didn't have to be told, you know, like, go, you have to help her, you know, it's a good thing. Nothing like that. My mother just said, Seva Dal, that's it. And the moment you say Seva Dal, we are in all attention, you know, what is the duty that has to be done, right? And so it is through inputs like that, you know, like it's a legacy for a lifetime. I'll never forget that one particular incident which to me sent the message that if you want to serve Swami, that opportunity is always there.
Always there, right.
It is yours for the taking, right? It could mean a very simple thing that, you know, you see an old woman or a blind person having to cross the road, you just lead them across and that's all, right? It's a very small thing that you can do just to help people around you, right? And that is the kind of orientation which we have to get, because when done at that kind of age, it kind of fructifies or blooms, you know, much later.
Right.
And that orientation is forever there. Like you don't, because we tend to live this kind of life, right, where we are always on the lookout for what we have to gain, right? And if even once in a while it happens that no, you know, we start thinking about the fellow human beings, it would really help. I recall, you know, one of my classmates, right? So he was working in Barclays Bank, and he had pioneered or initiated a particular service activity which was done by their branch in Mumbai, right? And when the bank, you know, this is Barclays Bank is a multinational bank. So when they evaluated the various kind of service projects that were taken up all across the globe, you know, by their bank branches, they found that this particular project, this actually won an award for being one of the most meaningful, purposeful and an activity that actually breathed life into their branch. You know, people found themselves benefiting so much from doing that activity, it actually showed up in their work.
Okay.
You know, in terms of like better emotional connect to what they were actually doing, better values, orientation, etc. So this was something that for that student was a legacy he carried over from being a product of the school and the university over here. Why? Because that has been continually ingrained in him. So it's very, very natural that when he goes out, this is what he does, right? But and when he can carry, you know, in the student, he or she can carry the others around with them, right? It's that is the true fructification of what Swami was teaching all of us, right? That's when his teachings really go out and touch humanity.
Right. But even as Swami was making this point about education should not be only for your own betterment or for your selfish gains, Swami was also saying that, I mean, emphasizing again what he mentioned in the previous clip about respect for gurus and love for parents. I think there was that one point where Swami was saying that, you know, you start with loving those at home, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's similar to a point that you mentioned some time ago about doing, learning all of this in a controlled environment, right? In an environment where you're sure that the person next to you is keen of your progress.
Yes.
I mean, let's say your parents. Their suggestions sometimes may be inaccurate in the logical sense, or probably they're not as informed as the son or the daughter in the house. But you know for sure that it's coming from a place of concern. You know, it's coming from a place of selflessness.
Right.
So Swami would be very particular in saying that if you're not able to learn in this environment where you're assured that the emotions are, you know, selfless, then how will you go out into the society where people actually are cold and don't care for you and be able to show love?
Correct.
And you were talking about Brother Satyajit sometime back, and he narrates one incident of, you know, when his mother had come to visit him, and that time Satyajit was taking care of, you know, was one of the boys inside the mandir. So I think 2 or 3 days his mother could not meet Satyajit, and after that when she met him, she kind of complained that, you know, I couldn't see you this time, you don't have time to spend with me. And Satyajit got very upset with her and gave her a long discourse on vairagya and spirituality, and she said, you know, how can you be so attached? Attachment is very bad and all that. So he was very pleased with himself that he, you know, gave a good, you know, piece of wisdom to his mother. And then after that, of course, he comes back and Swami asks him, what happened? What did you tell your mother? And then Swami gives him a piece of his mind. He said, do you even know what a mother's love is? Right? You know, how can you ever talk to a mother like this? And Swami was trying to tell him that, you know, you are not able to relate to her love for you. Right? Then how will you understand Swami's love for you? And how will you be able to go out and share Swami's love with others? And I think that's a very important point where many of what Swami is saying, what Swami is talking about, selflessness, even this idea of learning for the sake of others, you know, going through a process of education so that it benefit others, even that can actually start within the family. Of course, the problem today is it gets constrained and confined only to the family.
Right.
I mean, that's the problem, but it can as well start within the family, where you say that, as something as simple as, I want to learn this because probably it will make my father happy, or probably it will give happiness to my mother.
Yes, yes.
Something as simple as that can give you a taste of what Swami is talking about here.
Yes, so that's a very powerful context actually to operate from in life. You know, so many people, you know, a person I know who's a counselor for many people, he says that there's a very strong correlation between a person whose life is broken for various reasons. You know, they're like, they've lost their job, or they've had a divorce in the family, etc. And between not having a very good relationship with their parents, right? So he says that most of the time I just need to work on that. Like, how do I restore the relationship with the parent? There's something broken there.
Okay.
The moment, he says most of the time I've seen, the moment I repair that relationship, everything else, you know, is back in its place. Right. So that's why, like, whether we realize it or not, but these, very simple spiritual truths. And also we should recognize that these truths have, they have carried down from generations, right? not only that, they're not confined to one particular geological region.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the scriptures of various countries, you especially if you go out into the Far East, like in China and Japan,
mm-hmm.
it is one of the cardinal principles. You know,
right. we've seen
during the years,
right.
The Chinese New Year celebrations, when they, every year, they stress on what is called as filial piety, right? So mm-hmm. that tradition of being respectful, loving towards your parents, and that being the bedrock of a very fulfilling life, that has been there in our traditions across the world, across ages.
Right.
You know, and it is there for a particular reason, right? And what happens is cyclically we go through this, you know, phases of rebellion, right? So at some point of time, suddenly it becomes very, very fashionable not to be in touch with your parents or not being related to them, right? But sooner or later we begin to recognize the kind of neurosis and psychosis that develops from out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it is always safe, you know, to stick with, you know, what the scriptures have from time to time mentioned from the point of view of your well-being. Right? They're not there. As many young people tend to take it that these scriptural edicts are given so that we lead a restrained life. It is restricting our freedom. But as Swami mentions, Shreyas is so important than prayers. So this is a foundation for something that goes beyond what you and I look upon as happiness or pleasure in this world.
Right.
So that is the kind of foundation it develops.
Exactly. I think that point Swami made in this discourse earlier, as well as in the previous discourse, where Swami was saying that ingratitude, how it is central to all the rot that you see in society.
Right.
And Swami was mentioning that Padyam. You know, harming those who help them, destroying those who feed them, and making fun of those who teach them.
Right.
Right? And I think in one of the discourses towards the end, Swami says that, you know, after giving all the wisdom of the Upanishad, Swami saying all of this is fine, but if you can't do this much, if you can't show gratitude to the people who serve you, and Swami was saying, even giving back to the society, you know, it's literally what we are today is what we have grabbed from the society, and we have fed ourselves with that.
Yes,
and Swami is saying that you don't have that gratitude, then how can you have gratitude towards God and move towards God?
Correct. Like, I think we made this point a couple of weeks ago. So we said, look at any person who we adulate or adore because of the certain skills or talents that they've got. But if I look at them, for every such one person who's out there standing, you know, being able to put those skills to such use, there are like maybe thousands more who had the similar set of skills but couldn't get there. Right? So, when we look back at our lives, like there are a lot of people who contributed in various small different ways. And so at large, it is society that has made us what we are today. Right? I look back, you know, in my own office, I see that there is this one whom we call as a clerk, right?
Okay.
And he's working at that level. And very, very intelligent, you know, very a person with a lot of intellectual curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
But he was born in a rural background. And I always used to think that if such a person had the kind of opportunity that I had,
right,
where would he have reached, you know, with that kind of quick mindedness, right? So we have to be very, very grateful for the fact that we are where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it has happened, as you know, Swami says, through grace, right, and through the parents' blessings. So that is how these things happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that how does that gratitude get expressed is then back in serving that very same society that gave you that gave you that particular station that you now occupy in life.
Right.
So in that sense, see. Again, like Swami is again emphasizing, then what is the true knowledge in that case? It is a knowledge of the Atma, it's a knowledge of who you truly are, right? And that is what sets. So if you think, if your knowledge is limited to the fact that you're an animal, you know, a social animal, man is a social animal, if that's where you want to limit yourself, then you're going to behave in a certain fashion.
Right.
But if your wisdom tells you that there is something in what these sages have been telling us. Maybe my existence is something that goes beyond, you know, living in this human existence confined to this psyche. There's something more than that, right? In that case, if that kind of wisdom dawns, then the way we act is entirely different. And the reason, so that's why Swami stresses that. And this is not a knowledge that is going to be acquired like very easily.
Right.
It's something that we have to strive, and that's why sadhana is prescribed.
Right. I mean, typically, you know, it's a difference between, suppose I give a person 5 rupees today. How he'll spend it will be different if he thinks that that's the only 5 rupees he's going to get, or the knowledge that every day I'm going to come and give him a 5 rupees.
Yeah.
The way he'll spend it will be completely different. Okay. I think that's what it is, and knowledge is given to you. And all those things that Swami was saying, that this knowledge you can't carry forward, this talent which you acquire, yeah, you can't carry forward.
Yeah.
And all of that, you know, that being informed about all of this, maybe that realization will take a long time to come. And do we really feel like we are not the body and we are something beyond that?
Yeah.
Probably we don't.
Yeah.
But even in the context of having them as data for your processing of making choices,
correct,
I think it goes a long way.
Okay.
And that's why Swami was saying that it needs to be taught even in school. And probably the last point which I said, which was very interesting, Swami was talking about education which is not based on gratitude and service to others is not education at all. That knowledge is not knowledge at all. And quickly Swami shifts to devotion, or probably the activities of devotion, what we call devotion, is not devotion if it does not have love in it. You know, just like how knowledge is not knowledge without care for others, devotion is not devotion if it's not based in love. It cannot be go to a temple and start praising the Lord, and you can't call that devotion. You know, it's got to be a spontaneous outburst from within. And that's how Swami ends that, and again goes back to, like many, many discourses, ends with the idea that you foster love and everything else gets taken care of.
Yeah, but I think that's a very good lesson to take away, because then if love is the most important thing, then what we can look for, you know, is like, so if we ask, even if we have to ask ourselves, like, do we love God? And if we associate that with a certain emotion, or, you know, when we think of God, we break down. And like for Swami, more important was, if that love led you to following truth, you know, dharma and the path of ahimsa in your own lives. So that is a good check for us, you know.
Right.
That are we equally devoted to these values?
Mm-hmm.
So if we are, then that tells us at least that we have some measure of, you know,
right,
love for God. And that really, I think, is a very good lesson for us to take away. Right.
So I think we'll conclude with that. We are time's up, and I think the discourse also is completed. So we'll start with a new discourse next week. Thank you, dear listeners, for being with us. Even as we leave, we're going to leave you with the bhajan that Swami sang at the end of that discourse. On the other side of the bhajan, you'll be joined by the Vahini Satsang team. That'll be the last program for today. Do join us again next week at 7:30 p.m. for the next episode and the next discourse in this series on Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam.
Prema mudita manasikaho Rama 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 Sri Rama Rama Rama. Manasikaho Rama 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 Rama. Kate dukkha mite et ram naam
kate dukkha mite et ram naam
bhava samudra sukha danava et ram naam. Shanti Sukha Nidham Dhyaya Rama Naam
Shanti Sukha Nidham Dhyaya Rama Naam
Niradhara Ko Adhara ఏక రామ మాత పితా బంధు సక సబ రామ జన జీవన జన ఏక రామ నా